Our next review of the day is going to be for the TV series on Disney Plus, X-Men 97, the continuation of X-Men, the animated series. Many decades later, we have now a kind of a reboot sequel series here to the X-Men, the animated series. New creators here involved. Bo DeMeo, who is one of the creators who is not involved anymore. He got kind of fired from the project here. But he did have a hand in writing a lot of these episodes, the kind of direction of a lot of it kind of going on here in the first season and the second season, which has already been greenlit for a second season. But what is going on here? So if you remember what happened at the end of X-Men, the animated series, and in case you don't, that's okay. It's been a long time. Even though that people have said that the viewership for X-Men, the animated series has now spiked heavily since this new series has come out. So a lot of people are going back and watching the old X-Men, the animated series again. But at the end of that, Professor Xavier seemed like he died. Now you have where he kind of left his last will and testament to Magneto to take over this school for gifted youngsters there. But Cyclops is also still trying to handle the death of Professor X and trying to step up more as the leader now and more of the person trying to keep everyone together. The three episodes are out right now for the series. When the series first dropped, they released the first two, and then they're releasing new episodes every Wednesday. So we just saw the third episode this past Wednesday there. And yeah, I'm loving it a lot. I think it's really good. I think a lot of people right now, the state of Marvel and a lot of Marvel things, a lot of people are going like, yeah, there people have been really disappointed in the movies and the shows. But this seems like one of the few things recently that Marvel has produced that has a lot of people unified. It's getting really a lot of praise around, highly critically acclaimed. Audiences really love it. And I have to agree. I mean, it is a lot of fun. Watching back the old anime series, which we are going to do a review for pretty soon, it hasn't aged the best in some areas, just in terms of, you know, some of the animation just is really clunky, not very smooth. You know, and that's just the product of its time. The amount of crunch that the animators at the time were going through making the show back then. Because if you look at something like Batman, the animated series, even still today, I still think that animation still looks really smooth and still looks really good. I don't think that's the case looking back at the old X-Men animated series. But here you have kind of an animation style, and some people kind of have an issue with it. I'm curious to get your thoughts on it now that you've seen the three episodes of kind of the way it looks. But I really think it looks good. Especially when they're in the action sequences here. I think they also, the way the characters move, look really nice. And I think they really handle the characters in this really well. It feels like you just are immediately left, you know, kind of really kind of jump back into that kind of time period here with this and maintaining it. And people really are loving Cyclops in this. People said these first three episodes, Cyclops is better than he was in the entire X-Men movies that came out from Fox. But I'm going to pass to you, Dust, get your thoughts. What are you thinking about X-Men 97 here?
I'm worried because I actually liked this. I'm worried because I don't trust Disney and they hurt me before. And right from the get-go, dialogue-wise, writing-wise, it felt as if the 92 series didn't miss a beat. They just picked up right where they left off. And that's not easy to do. From the characters, the dialogue, I was impressed that every character more or less felt like the characters. And the themes that they carried felt very in line with the comics around the time. And I was also very impressed in how they've handled all the characters. They've been positively retconned a few things, like they've actually handled how Cyclops's power works as a concussive blast and how he can utilize that in combat. And they've really did a good job of using everyone's powers and showing that, yes, Scott's a power to be reckoned with along with Jean Grey. That's why their kids are so powerful. They're really strong. It's also allows to show what happens when you allow the character Scott Summers to be a leader character, and that he does fit it really well. It adds a dynamic characterization to him. I think Logan as well. Logan is also well represented. It's still kind of the hard ass, but he's taken some of the time of the series. His hard edge has been kind of softened a bit. You can really tell his weakness is Jean, as he has unrequited feelings for her, but he does seem to care for her and for the team as a whole. And he still has a rivalry with Scott, but it's more like, you know, it's just more like a actual rivalry rather than a I actively hate you. I don't always agree with what you do. Where it was an active rival and dislike. Everyone feels pretty natural for the most part. I think the animation, I think, is a bit choppy sometimes. I get what they're going for, but I do think it's a bit choppy. I think the animation actually looks well when it's just when nobody's moving. When nobody's moving and they're pretty stationary, it actually looks fairly close to the X-Men 92 show. Even a still from a comic book. I think that's what impressed me the most. As you can tell, the people who, or at least this initial creation, you can tell that they read the X-Men early comics. They watched the show and they're trying their best, or at least they tried to focus it. There's some problems here and there, and I don't agree with some of the changes that they've made, but I can definitely see there was a passion here. And it wasn't just to disrupt the status quo. Was it a passion to at least try? And that's more that I've gotten from a lot of other Disney shows lately.
Yeah. And I think they do make improvements to the characters here. Like I said, watching it, you know, right now, the X-Men the anime series, I think one big improvement besides Cyclops is Morph. I think Morph is a lot better here for me than he was in the original series. I think Morph in the original series, I mean, he still serves the same purpose, comedic relief. But in the original series, I mean, he was kind of felt like a Rob Schneider ripoff or something like
that. Yeah, he was meant to die off episode one.
Yeah.
He was never meant to stay along, but because of he was kind of one of those popular characters, despite the fact, so they kind of brought him back and made it a plot point. And yeah, he adds a level of kind of cheeky making fun of people, cheeky jokes, very dark humor a lot of times, actually surprisingly dark humor. He also, I think what's interesting about this interpretation of him is he does seem to have a really good mind for people. And he's really able to kind of cut through the BS and kind of use his ability to kind of poke at them. He loves poking people.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially in the first episode when Logan is like, they're going to leave and I don't like it. He's like, or maybe it's because you're jealous.
Yeah. There's a scene in the club. Yeah. With Morph is T when he transforms into Jean. And Jean in this, you see that she's pregnant. And I guess we're gonna get into spoilers, yeah. Three episodes they released there, but we will figure out what all that is. But I think Morph is kind of an improvement here. I do think Morph maybe is a little OP here, just because like wait, he can morph into other mutants, and then it seems like he can also get their powers as well. You know, like he'll morph into Colossus, he'll morph into Psylocke, Magic. In the most recent episode, he changed into them. Yeah. And it seems like it makes him a little too OP there.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what they're kind of giving him here. My interpretation was that he can only do it for a limited amount of time. Mm. So it's very quick. He maybe has like a minute or two of transformation. He can't keep it for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah. And some people think that that's, you know, some people complain that's maybe like just an excuse to put in cameos there.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that? Like he's just,
I absolutely believe that that would probably be an excuse to put cameos in. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. But he also did do that in also the original series.
Yeah, he did. He made cameos. He made pass. He transformed as Deadpool at one point.
Deadpool. Yeah, he did do that. So it is. It's not like it's something new for the series that they're doing. They are doing it. They're also. So it's not nothing. They're just adding in there. And like I said, it does feel like it is taking place. You know, it does feel like it hasn't missed a beat. There, that also helps that you also do have some of the original cast members of the X-Men anime series that have come back and done it, who they actually had to re-audition for the role as well. There, but some couldn't come back because some have passed away. Yeah. But the actor who played Cyclops, Scott Summers, in the original series, he passed away, so they have a new person there. Ray
the guy who plays him is fantastic. Did a great job of playing the original Cyclops.
Yeah, who sounds just like the
original.
I mean, it's sounds exactly like the person there. You have Wolverine, the actor who plays Wolverine, who he is back. He is playing Cal Dodd, who who was from the original series. You also have the actress who plays Storm, who's also from the original series, Allison Seeley Smith. You have also the actress who plays Rogue, who's also back again, Lenore Zane.
Is Gambit the original as well?
Is Gambit the original? Let me see real quick. But with Rogue here, so you have her. Now, some of them, obviously, because it's been so many decades later, they do sound older, especially Rogue. I think she sounds the most different out of the original.
Yeah, thing. if you're comparing her directly to the original show to here, you definitely can tell there's time. But I think the benefit, at least with Rogue, is that the voice actress always had a more liquid, kind of a deeper, kind of like almost like a smoky or a lightly raspy voice. And it kind of worked with her Southern Belle kind of charm. It's not as, there are moments where it's noticeable, but I think for the most part, she pulls it off pretty well.
Yeah, I think once you hear it, it's just like you settled into it pretty nice. The actor who's playing Wolverine, he does sound different than what Wolverine did sound like, but I think it's a different way he's approaching the voice than as opposed to, you know, when he did it originally there. So
there's a lot of the mannerisms.
Yeah, a lot of the mannerisms there. And it is a different person who's playing Gambit in this series.
Okay. He does whoever's playing Gambit, he did a good job. I was listening for it too, and I'm like, yeah, it's not quite the same, but he keeps the mannerisms, and the dialogue written for him really is as lockstep. It's good.
Yeah. And the actor who's voicing Beast also is the same actor who voiced Beast in the anime.
Yeah, that was also surprising. I'm like, oh, it's good to see you. He did a great job. I almost thought he was replaced at first because he sounded a little bit lighter, but then went to kind of settled in. I'm like, oh, okay, now I can see it. I was also happy to see that this show was also continuing, because sometimes they kind of go back and forth in the original show, continuity or will they, won't they stuff. It's also nice to see that Gambit and Rogue are just officially a thing and they're just like not doing the dance around anymore.
Did it seem like I thought they were still kind of doing the kind of were they kind of together? And I didn't
in the original, you watched the original show, right?
They were still kind of bouncing around.
That's what I'm saying. It's nice to see that it's finally just kind of settled in a
okay,
like it's like we're not doing that dance around anymore. They're just officially there. I mean, and near the finale, and I think season two or three, I can't remember which one now is, they almost die, and basically Gambit admits that he cares for her, and she does too, and then by season four, they're still kind of doing the back and forth stuff. And I'm like, why are you still doing that? You pretty much already settled it. And this one, they're just like, no, we're done the song and dance. We're officially pretty much an item.
Yeah. They do have a new actress playing Jubilee in this one.
She does a good job.
She Holly Chow is the new Jubilee in this one.
I think the Jubilee voice actress, I guess, didn't come back or couldn't. I don't remember. Or she chose not to.
I think she's voicing a different character in this show there. So she's voicing a different character in this show there, I believe. So, yeah. But, they do have a new actress who's voicing Jubilee in this. So, yeah, I think the voice cast is really good here. Really, really, really good.
Some of the strongest I've seen lately, honestly, for an animated Western animated project.
Yeah. And they have some new members to the team. So Bishop has been added to the main roster here. He wasn't in
which I'm fine with.
So he's been added and he's kind of a good addition. A little bit more. I think he's kind of at all the X-Men. He probably gets the least amount of time.
I'm hoping that they eventually, with time and it being an issue, I think he'll be brought a lot more in.
Yeah. So hopefully they give him a little bit more to do because he's a really good character. I really like Bishop.
He was interesting in the comics. I think he was kind of unpopular at first. He was originally, when they did Days of Future Past, it was, I think originally Kitty Pryde. And then for this show, they did Bishop instead when they did the Days of Future Past show. That's why he's here instead of Kitty Pryde, which was originally in the comics. And so he just kind of decided to stay around after he like went to the past to help.
Yeah. But in the last episode, he went back to the future there.
Yeah, he did.
And then how do you like Magneto now? Storyline from the comics, he's taken over, now he's the leader of the X-Men, the headmaster there. What do you think about that?
In the comics it was always kind of a wait, what? So, but it's one of the more interesting arcs that they did, despite Magnus's just frustrations and anger with Xavier. They did genuinely good friends, and he did seem to deeply respect him. And I do like that they kept it in this show that what started off as anger and resentment towards his former friends slowly became begrudging respect. And even now he's put in a, almost like in the last ditch effort to save his friend's soul. He's like, I'm giving you the keys to my kingdom and I'm putting you like putting you on the pedestal basically. And that's a, it's a risky gambit for Xavier to do that. It's very risky, but I think that will lend to a very, in the comics, it lent to a lot of interesting moments where Magnus did a lot of self-reflection and he, even though he tried to do, well, what would Xavier do in this situation?
Yeah. Terrific episode. His episode in number two, Mutant Liberation Begins. The episode, it's from the comics where he goes to court there that you see and he gives the whole speech. Really good, really well done there. And the actor for them, Matthew Watterson there, who replaces the original actor from the MCU who died in 2020.
Very unfortunate.
But yeah, so three episodes. You have To Me, My X-Men. You also have Fire Maid Flesh, which was the third episode. Fire Maid, To Me, My X-Men. Some of the criticisms, as much as I'm loving the show, because in the animated series, you had Jubilee, who was the audience avatar character who came in and the one that showed you, okay, like this is who everybody is, and you know, this is what they do, and this is the X-Men, and this is what they, but you don't really have that. It seemed like that they were kind of going to do that with Sunspot, like make him the new Jubilee.
Yeah.
But no, he kind of, he's in there a little bit, and maybe he's going to stick around and maybe appear as more of a full-fledged character later on. But that leads to them having to re-explain a lot of stuff, like just in case, like you also have to service the older viewers and the newer viewers coming into it. So that leads to a lot of exposition and expository dialogue that's dumped. You know, like there's a scene with Jean Grey where she's using Cerebro and she's getting inside somebody's mind and she's like, well, this is Cerebro and this amplifies my powers and this allows me to do this. Like, why are you explaining all this to this person? Like, it seems
to be fair, in that circumstance, she's using it as an intimidation practice.
True. That's also,
she's basically telling you there's nowhere in your mind you can hide and you don't know where I am anyways. And basically give up the goods or I'm just going to keep digging.
Yeah. But there are some scenes of there with the expository dialogue that kind of, that's a little clunky.
Sure.
I would say, what about you with some kind of issues?
No, I agree. There's some moments where I'm like, we know this, why are you, but then again, it's been how many years since the original 92, almost 30 years later.
Yeah.
How long is like, if you hadn't been rewatching it, like I was, so I know a lot of them like, oh yeah. Cause I just rewatched all of it. But not everybody's going to have the time to rewatch the entire thing. But I do get it. Using Sunspot, or at least the character to do so, and Jubilee being the one to it, is kind of nice and poetic, where she's gotten to the position where she's in the moment where she's kind of now a veteran now. And she can kind of now give a new person coming in the same stuff, the same kind of speech that she was given.
Yeah, I thought that was a good moment. Yeah, for that. And Sunspot, he becomes a kind of the leader of the New Mutants, which is a younger group of mutants that's there. Which I don't think they adapted in the animated series.
Oh no, they didn't even get that far.
Yeah, they didn't do that. So they could
New
do
Mutants
that.
Is a whole kettle of fish. At one point, the X-Men pretend to die, and the New Mutants take over, and the original X-Men go and hang out in Australia. And hang out in Australia and do small things, but they stay below the radar for a while before a big enough threat happens with the New Mutants that the original crew comes back and they team up. But it's kind of like a weird phase for a weird bit for a while where basically the New Mutants basically take over as the X-Men for, I think, a 3 or 4 years, I think, in the comics.
Okay.
They pushed them real hard.
Yeah. So maybe they're going to get more of that later in the show there. And villain-wise, you still got the Friends of Humanity. You still see them there. They're a big threat. That's who kind of Cyclops. I saw play that clip earlier of him fighting there. The action scenes are really good, really well done. I think the Sentinel action scene.